I titled this message, Amber Alert, Beware of the Leaven. When you see the Amber Alert going about these days, it somehow, I don't know about you, but it really gets my attention. The first time it gets my attention is with the sound. It's a sound that is distinct from all other sounds. It lets you know, stop what you're doing and pay attention to this broadcast. There is an emergency that is in the process, and we want you to be aware of such of an emergency. We're not saying directly that it is in front of you, but we're saying as you go about your life, there is a strong possibility that you may encounter it. And most of the times, it's because someone is missing. Now, being loving humans that we are, we're concerned about those that are not among us, those that are missing. Well, we have a similar situation here. We have an Amber Alert that was sent out by Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he tells them to beware of the leaven. He's telling them something that he had not mentioned too many times before. When Jesus says, beware, my brothers and my sisters, I'm going to find out how old some of you are. There was a commercial that used to come out in the late 70s and early 80s. And it said, when E.F. Hutton talks, what does people tend to do? Amen. Now, E.F. Hutton was talking financial. He wasn't necessarily talking to everybody. He wasn't talking to individuals who had no money to invest. He was talking to a particular world in the finance world and says, hey, listen, when this financial genius, when he talks, if you want to make some money, if you want to be a real player in the game, you want to listen to this guy. Well, Jesus, when it comes to your soul, he is the greatest there ever is, there ever was, and ever will be. And when Jesus talks, the admonishment is clear. You must listen. Because when you look at the text, you see that the disciples were there with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus reminded them as to what he had already done. And because he had to remind them, they began to recollect some of the things he had did. But there was a problem. They were only remembering based on him questioning. Sometimes, folks, when we are going through this thing called life, we need to be the ones asking ourselves, what did Jesus do for me? How did Jesus get me through this circumstance or get Ed out of his circumstances? And I thank God that God talked to Ed, Brother Ed up here singing. Talked to him, if it wasn't directly, if it wasn't just through his word, he sent the congregation to talk to him. And thank God those folks that talked to him were of the good leaven. Because we're going to talk a little bit about the bad leaven. Amen? And so my key truth is, walking with Jesus will not be without challenges. Jesus loves us enough to admonish us to be on guard against these two things, hypocrites and evildoers. Church, we have been bombarded. We have been infiltrated by a small group of hypocrites and evildoers. That is the number one reason why the church is lacking in the area of unity. When you look at in the book of Acts, the second chapter and the third chapter, you see that they were under the disciples and the teaching, and they were become on one accord. They began to give. They began to do all things in community. But because evildoers and hypocrites have infiltrated the body, we are now more separated than we ever been before. We're separated on facets of life that have nothing to do with salvation, but yet they have everything to do with our decisions, what we're doing in life. And if they have nothing to do with salvation, that may be for a person who's already saved. But if I am a hypocrite and the person isn't saved, then it has everything to do with salvation. Amen? And so you may ask yourself, for those who don't bake, what in the world is this leaven? Number one says the leaven of the Jews. We need to look and see, how did the Jews deal with leaven? Now, the Jews, they love them some bread. And today, we all still love us some bread, amen? We love bread so much, and some of us are bakers in the house, and I know Lisa looking at me, and she said, you better tell it right. You better tell it right. When you think about leaven, it's really the yeast. And letter A says that yeast is used to make dough rise. Now, if you want your bread to rise to the occasion, to do what it needs to do or supposed to do, you better put some yeast in it. If you don't put any yeast in it, you're going to have a lumpy, ugly, unpresentable bread, and you wonder, can you eat it? Because it won't look right. But yeast also, letter B says, it gives the bread its texture. So not only does it make it look presentable, but yet it allows the bread to rise in such a way to where there is some texture that is edible that goes into this bread that allow you to say, you know what? This is some good bread. And there was nothing like during the Jewish times sitting at the table and breaking bread together. In fact, it was one of the customs that is still practiced to this day and still held in high regard, is to be able to sit at the table and break bread. That should be also a custom for today's believer, is to be able to and be willing to have someone sit at the table with you and break bread. Why is that? Because the bread with the leaven is a gateway to the bread of life. And so as you break the physical bread, you now have an opportunity because you have the attention of the individual, because you offer them the opportunity to sit at the table with you. They themselves say, you know what? This individual must care enough about me that he or she would invite me to the table. So if they start talking about the other bread, the bread of life, maybe I should just listen to them and see what they had to say. Amen? And so the Jews found out a long time ago, and thank God they did, that leaven or yeast, though it is perfect for bread, there is something about it that it has, letter C says, the yeast must be handled properly. Now, in the 21st century, we don't know anything about that. Why? Because we go to the store and buy a little packet of dry yeast that is that's not in position to become bad. So all we have to do is we have to open up this pack of yeast and we have to pour it and add some water, and we're going to activate this yeast. Now we can use this yeast. But during the Jewish times, the yeast was actually part of the bread batch itself and had the yeast in it. But they had to store it away correctly and properly, because if they did not, letter D says, it only takes a little yeast to damage the whole batch. If they did not store this yeast correctly, then they're going to get some bread. But they're also going to have the whole room or family full of people sick with salmonella. And because salmonella can kill you today, but even though we have medicine to take care of that, then they didn't. So it was imperative. Your life depended on whether or not you stored this yeast correctly. The yeast is not going to make an announcement before it gets to the batch. Hey, I'm bad yeast. Don't use me. No, it's going to sit there. It's going to appear as though it's good, as though it's ready to go. But when you use it, That bread is going to look so good. When you bite into it, that texture is going to be there. You're going to say, yeah. Maybe the next day, a couple of days, people are going to start getting sick. And you're going to wonder, uh-oh, something told me to store it the way Mom and them told me how to store it. I figured I'll get a shortcut and store it the way I want to store it. Beware of the leaven. There's another leaven that's coming around. This one has the same principle as the leaven that I described, but I love how the Jews took something as way of an experience, and they said, you know what? We can draw upon this experience in the physical, and we can apply it to the spiritual. What are you talking about, Elder? Number two says, the biblical historical view of leaven. There is a biblical historical view of leaven. And it's telling us, letter A, it symbolized corruption. They're saying, like leaven, corruption is in the hearts of a few. But if I allow this corruption of the few to have its way, to run its course, as they say, as I grew up, all hell would break loose. We also know what that looks like even in our lives today. Many of us have lived a life that is not indicative of the one we envisioned. Why? Because some bad leaven came our way. Some bad leaven that caused us to think in a different way, caused us to see from a different vantage point. Some leaven, bad leaven, that was contrary to what your mother taught you, contrary to what your father taught you. And if they loved you and loved God enough, greatly contrary to what God has taught you. Many of our lives are not fulfilled. Jesus says he wished that we would prosper even as our soul prospered, but we want our souls to prosper. It can't prosper with bad leaven. It just won't work. Yeah, we can look good. We can look like some real suave Christians. We can talk the talk. We can dress up for it. We can give the appearance as though it's all good. But inside, we're broken. There's despair. Our faith is not what it used to be. Why? We didn't heed the warning. Number one, as part of B, says this leaven. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to go back. Letter A. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what the biblical view of that looked like. Said it. It is actually reported, this is Paul talking, that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that is not tolerated among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Are you not rather to mourn? In other words, if you're not mourning, if you're not sorrowful for the sin this person is doing, you actually are celebrating it. You're not addressing it. You are in cahoots. It says, let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you know now that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Those are the very words of God, admonishing us what we're to do when we see the destruction of individuals because of the influence of being around some bad leaven. We're not to take it lightly. Neither should the ears of those who hear it should take it lightly. Why? Because of the probability and possibility of infecting the whole bunch. Yes, there was one perverter who was sleeping with his mother-in-law, but yet there was a congregation who were actually boasting in it and didn't really see a big problem. They were just as guilty. They were just as contaminated as he was. But for the purpose of the body, that individual must be cast out, cast away, even given unto Satan. Why? That his spirit may be saved. Get him out of the way. So if that's among us, we have that same responsibility. Thank God our pastor has us speaking word for word, book by book, in the scriptures. We can't sugarcoat this. We can't overlook it. But guess what? We ourselves can't be involved in it, because we wouldn't have the power of God to be able to speak on it, because we'll be standing as guilty foes. And there'd be no way we can adequately speak the word of God. Amen. Letter B says, you guys want to know how bad this bad leaven is? It says it was just as infectious as the Delta variant. Everywhere a hypocrite or an evildoer goes, that individual would have failed if that individual was not able to contaminate a person who was not leaning that direction. That's why we have to guard on ourselves so greatly. The Bible says that there are ways that seem right unto a man, but the end leads to his death. And the Bible describes death as separation. And so a great way to be separated from God is to go on your own way. If you want to go down your own way, if you want to lean towards your own understanding and not acknowledge God, God said if you acknowledge him, he would make your path straight. So it's telling me that your path is crooked and is in need of being straightened out. And so 30 years later, and you're coming to the altar and you want prayer because your life is messed up, that means you stayed 30 years too long on a crooked path. How many souls have escaped your grasp because you allowed yourself to stray for so long? How many people are on their way to hell because of the bad leaven that has contaminated you? Yeah, you may be saved, but you only may be interested in your own salvation. How many people have to go to hell before you say, Lord, help me with this bad leaven that's inside of me? Yes, I believe Jesus, you say, but I only believe certain parts. I was talking to an individual at work the other day. I don't know about you guys, but I have the best job in the world. This one, now, God told you to come here. So this is great, but the job I have allows me to sit smack dab in the middle of corporate America and yet realize, number one, acknowledge, number two, and work in, number three, that big old vineyard That's a beautiful vineyard. I tell you, the harvest is plentiful. But I found out, and just yesterday was our pastor's birthday, amen? Yes. Amen. Pastor's birthday was yesterday. But pastor and I share something in common. On his 9th birthday, his 9th birthday in 1981, that was the day I started my job. And I'm still there. Same job when my pastor was 9. But what I'm getting at is, when you're dealing with bad leaven, had an individual, he told me he reads the Bible, but he reads it by himself. And he said to me, I don't really believe in the Bible that much. I believe most of it, but there's some parts I really just don't believe in. So I said, ask him a question. Well, what part was that? He said, this is an African-American gentleman. He said, the part where they talk about being respectful and being under the rule of your leaders, of your masters. He had a problem with being under the leadership of your masters and masters having ruler over you. And so I asked him, I said, so what problem do you have with that? He says, well, he went back to our history. I said, unfortunately, you allowed your history, our history, to become some bad leaven in your mind. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, if you came outside that room that you're studying in by yourself, like you just did, now you get an opportunity to get some clarity. I said, now when you read that scripture, did it ever come to your mind that America wasn't a country then? Has it ever come to your mind that no one had been brought from Africa to come to the Americas as slaves then? I said, so you need to understand, it wasn't talking about holding us down. It was talking to some Jews who were under the Roman Empire, who thought that Jesus' responsibility and role was to come and free them from the oppression of the Romans. I said, every context is key. I said, but there's two words that can mess us up. One is eisegete, the other one is exegete. If I exegete, I'm drawing out what's here and I can examine it. But if I eisegete, I'm putting inside there what don't belong there. I personally don't belong in that text, but the principle itself remains true. Yes, I am to allow my governors to have governance over me as it relates to the laws of the land. But I love the way Jesus said it when he was challenged by the Pharisees. Jesus, teacher, master, out of all the rules and laws, which is the greatest? Out of 632, is what they're saying, which one should we observe? I love how Jesus broke it down to two. Love, the first is this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy spirit. And he says, in case you can't keep up with that one, number two is just like that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you mean to tell me if I love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my might, and then love my neighbor as myself, if I did just those two things, I would never be guilty of any crime. Any. I love myself enough, I won't steal from me. I love God so much, I won't lie to him. So every law that's in man's law is minute compared to those two. And so as I'm following God's law, then I'm not going to break man's law. Amen? And so when I look at that, I say, wait a minute. Number one says, letter B, it says, especially in the area of unbelief and hypocrisy. Many of us are victimized, if you tell the truth, we're victimized by this. This leaven, this bad leaven, It's what governs us today. Many of us, our belief system is not in accordance to the scriptures. Our belief system is mostly accordance to what we think or what we feel. How do I know? Because we tend to behave according to what we think or what we feel or what we believe. So if I believe that Jesus is Lord over all, then I'm going to what? I'm going to consult with Jesus over all things. I'm not going to let someone on television who I've never met. I'm not going to let someone in the flesh who does not understand scripture, who does not have an association with Jesus that is verifiable. You cannot come and tell me anything that is credible. Why? I'm going to treat you the same way. Guess what? I'm going to treat you the same way I treat our pastor. And the same way I want you to treat me. I don't want you to take what I say and leave it at that. Take it and search the scriptures for yourself. Amen. That's how you understand the effectiveness of leaven. Because I can tell you some negative things. If I told you, if our church was to all of a sudden change in our doctrine and started talking more, it's going to mess some of you up, started talking to you more about the prosperity gospel, then you're going to say, wait a minute. Since when did prosperity become a gospel?